Chapter 41, The Attacking Barbarians. Attila the Hun. The barbarians called Huns swept down on the Roman Empire on strong, fast war horses, wearing strong armor and shooting deadly arrows from horseback. They came from the north, from Central Asia. They drove all their enemies into retreat. All along the borders of the Roman Empire, people told terrible stories about the savage Huns. One Roman historian wrote, "They are uglier than any other men on earth. They eat roots that they find in the fields, and they don't even cook their meat. Instead, they put the raw meat between their saddles and the backs of their horses and ride on it all day. Then they eat it." The Huns taught their babies to ride horseback even before they could walk. And Hun children didn't go to school. Instead, they learned how to shoot arrows at a full gallop. The most terrifying barbarian of all was Attila, the greatest Hun war leader. Attila led his Hun army in attacks against both Roman empires, the East and the West. He was so powerful that the Romans began calling him the Scourge of God. They thought that God was punishing them by sending Attila the Hun to attack their borders. The Western Roman Emperor and his advisors tried to think of a way to keep Attila away, but the Emperor's sister, Honoria, had different ideas. Honoria was bored with life at the Roman court. She was tired of being a great lady, and her brother, the Emperor, wanted her to marry a weak, ugly man whom she didn't love. "If you don't marry him," he told her, "I'll throw you in jail." So Honoria wrote a letter to Attila the Hun. "Come and rescue me," she wrote. "If you do, I will marry you." She paid a servant to take this letter and her favorite ring to Attila. The servant rode for days and days to reach Attila's army, which was camped at the borders of the Western Roman Empire. When Attila read Honoria's letter, he thought, "This is my chance to invade the empire and take it for myself." So he sent a message back to the emperor. The message was, "I am engaged to be married to your sister, Honoria. I want half of your empire as a wedding present, and I'm coming to claim it now." Attila and his men fought their way through Gaul and finally marched down into Italy. They conquered and burned the cities in their path. Finally, the emperor offered to pay Attila a huge amount of money to leave Italy. And he promised to send Attila money every year if only Attila would leave Italy alone. Attila agreed to leave Italy, but he warned, "I want Honoria sent to me as my wife, or I will return." He marched the Huns back out of Italy, planning to come back and claim his wife and his new empire. But before Attila could return to Italy, he died of a nosebleed, and he never did marry Honoria, the sister of the emperor. Attila's followers put his body into a golden coffin. They put the golden coffin into a silver coffin, and the silver coffin into an iron coffin. They buried the iron coffin in the dead of night, and then killed all of the slaves who had helped to dig the grave, so that no one would know where Attila was buried. To this day, the grave of Attila the Hun has not been found. Stilicho, Roman and Barbarian. The Huns were a powerful barbarian tribe, but so were the Visigoths, barbarians who lived around the Danube River. The armies of the Western Roman Empire fought with the Visigoths, the Huns, and other barbarian tribes for years and years. Some barbarians grew to like the Roman way of life. They stopped fighting and settled down in Roman villages. Sometimes the barbarians even switched sides and fought for Rome. One barbarian chief who switched sides married a Roman girl and settled down with her. We don't know his name, but we do know the name of his son, Stilicho. Stilicho grew up with a barbarian father and a Roman mother, but Stilicho thought of himself as all Roman. He was a patriotic man who wanted to fight for Rome and protect Rome's lands from the barbarian invaders. When he was old enough, he traveled to the city of Rome itself and joined the Roman army. He was a brave fighter and a loyal servant of the emperor. Soon the emperor himself took notice of Stilicho. He sent Stilicho on important errands to other countries, and Stilicho fell in love with the emperor's daughter, Serena. Finally, they were married. The half-barbarian boy had become part of the emperor's family. The emperor put Stilicho in charge of the whole Roman army.
"Stilicho," he said, "the Visigoths have decided to try and invade Rome. I give you the job of keeping them away. Go and destroy the Visigoths. Keep Rome safe."
Stilicho accepted the job. He marched his army out to meet the invading Visigoths. Time after time, the Visigoths and the Romans clashed in battle. Each time, the Visigoths backed away. But the Roman soldiers were never able to destroy the Visigoths completely. After each battle, the barbarians went away, rested, found fresh horses and men, and returned to fight again. Soon the Roman army was exhausted. Stilicho returned to Rome. "We can never beat the Visigoths," he told the people of Rome. "But if we send them 4,000 pounds of gold, they will leave us in peace."
4,000 pounds? The people protested. "We will become even poorer."
"But if we don't send the money," Stilicho said, "the Visigoths will continue to fight us, and soon they will win." Finally, the Roman people agreed. The Visigoths took their gold and retreated from Roman land. But now the Romans were poorer and hungrier than ever. They were angry with Stilicho because he had not defeated the Visigoths. They resented him because they had been forced to pay gold to drive the Visigoths away. Soon, people began to whisper about Stilicho.
"He didn't try hard enough to conquer the barbarians," they murmured. "He allowed them to escape on purpose. If he really wanted to, he could wipe them out. But he spared them because he's part barbarian himself. Stilicho is a traitor to Rome. It's his fault that we had to send all that gold to the barbarians."
Stilicho tried to defend himself. "I did my best," he said. "I am a faithful, loyal servant of Rome, but our armies are weaker than they were in ancient times. No general could defeat the Visigoths. Paying them gold was our only hope." But the people of Rome paid no attention. They turned against Stilicho and demanded his execution. Even Stilicho's own army mutinied. Stilicho was afraid for his life. He ran to a nearby church to hide.
"Come out," his army told him. "We promise that you will be safe."
So Stilicho came out of the church. But as soon as he appeared, his own soldiers grabbed him and said,
"The emperor has ordered you to be executed."
Stilicho's servants were still loyal to him.
"We will fight for you," they cried.
But Stilicho refused to allow this. "Let us have no more bloodshed," he said. "I will abide by the emperor's command." So Stilicho was beheaded. After his death, many Romans regretted his execution.
"He was a faithful Roman," they said, "and he was our best defense against the barbarians."
The coming of the Visigoths. Stilicho, the half-barbarian, half-Roman general, did his best to protect Rome from the barbarian invaders. He fought the Visigoths for years, but the Romans executed him because they thought he wasn't doing his best for Rome. They shouldn't have. Stilicho was the only general who could keep the Visigoths away from Rome. Only 2 years after Stilicho's execution, the Visigoths finally marched all the way down through Italy to the city of Rome itself. When the emperor and his court heard that the Visigoths were coming, they packed up all their belongings and left the city of Rome. They traveled to a much smaller city that sat in the middle of a swamp. The Visigoths couldn't get through the soft, muddy ground of the swamp with their horses, so the emperor was safe. From now on, this tiny, dirty, damp city would serve as the capital of the Western Roman Empire. The people who stayed in Rome were terrified. For 800 years, the city of Rome had been safe from attack. Its thick walls and world-famous army had protected it from invasion. But now the army was weak and frightened, and the walls were unprotected. The people of Rome sent desperate messages to the Eastern Roman Empire. "The Visigoths are coming," they wrote. "Please come and help us." But the army of the Eastern Roman Empire was afraid to fight the Visigoths, and the Eastern Roman Emperor didn't dare send his army away from Constantinople all the way to Rome. If he did, other barbarians might attack his city while it was unprotected. So no one came to help Rome. The Visigoths poured over the walls and overwhelmed the soldiers who had remained on duty. The Visigoth commander, Alaric, ordered,
"Gather up all the gold you can find. Take Rome's treasures. Now they belong to us."
The Visigoths were happy to obey. They ripped down Rome's beautiful golden statues and melted them. They stole coins and jewelry. But the Visigoths didn't kill the unarmed people of Rome. And because many of the Visigoths had converted to Christianity, they didn't destroy Rome's churches. They took everything valuable that they could put their hands on and then marched away. When they heard the news, people all over the old empire mourned. Over in the Eastern Roman Empire, a monk named Jerome wrote,
"Terrifying news has come to us from the west. Rome has been taken by assault. Sobs disturb my every word. The city has been conquered, which had once ruled the whole world."
Rome would never again be a great world power. Some Romans still lived in the city, but 45 years after the Visigoth attack, another barbarian tribe invaded the city again. This tribe, called the Vandals, took everything valuable that the Visigoths had left behind. They were even worse than the Visigoths. They captured the frightened people of Rome and led them off to be slaves and hostages. They burned buildings made from wood and tore bricks and stones out of walls that wouldn't burn. They even peeled the gold decorations off the roofs of Rome's temples. Today, we call someone who destroys things for fun a vandal, after the Vandals who destroyed what was left of the city of Rome. The Western Roman Empire still survived, but just barely. Its capital city was gone, and its emperor was ruling in the middle of a swamp. Soon, the Western Roman Empire would be gone forever. Note to parent. Attila's birth date is unknown. He died in CE 52. Stilicho became regent for the Western Roman Empire in 395, after Theodosius. Stilicho drove Alaric away in 397, but fell from favor and was executed in 408. The Visigoths sacked Rome in 410.